44 of the NYC podcast. We're dedicating this week's episode to the great one, the best of the best, the vanilla Godzilla, the white mamba, Brian Scalabrini. I am Andrew, joined as always by Ben Arcane.
G'day.
And John Zhao Ming.
Hello.
And returning to the panel this week, Pat P-Dub.
Oi.
Oi.
Right, you.
Coming back strong. But we are here once again to talk about all the things you'd like to hear us ramble about, which are basketball, video games. I don't think there's any NBA news of note this week, although LeBron has just announced that he's going to be producing a sitcom. So let's just give our opinions on that right now. And move right along to the news from the past week. And starting off, as always, with NBA Live 14 news, we had just one little preview article from the last week. Just pulling it up here. It was a USA Today feature on how NBA Live captures an NBA star's moves. Another look at that motion capture session, what was it, a week or two ago now, at EA Tiburon with Damian Lillard. But it did mention a couple of interesting things, I believe, John, that you picked up on, if this is the same article, about them getting animations into the game really, really quickly.
Yeah, it said something about it takes about a day, if they really work at it, to go from motion capture to in-game, and that's with cleaning it up and making it work in the engine. I'm trying to find the quote itself, but if I remember correctly, that is pretty much what they insinuated in that turnaround is that quick, which is insane.
Yeah,
I agree. But the conditions were, you know, from memory, when they first announced this sort of stuff was, I think it was back at either E3 or the original Xbox One announcement, was that Synergy and that would need to recognize if this player starts to do the move on a sort of regular basis, and if Synergy detects it in a sense like that, like if they recognize that this player is using this in a sense like a go-to move. So yeah, but it's still impressive if they're able to get it done in a day and implement it into the game. So
well, it does make it sound like they could push through potentially new moves,
yeah,
depending on the size of the data, and I think that's what you gleaned or as a possibility, John, from that quote that you're trying to find.
It said from animation, music, shoes, everything in our game, the goal is make it exactly like the real NBA every day and keep that updated and refreshed throughout the season. Which, I mean, again, if I'm saying that animation's a part of that and they're going to get updated, then, you know, that means that music's going to get updated too, which isn't going to happen because of licensing and all that fun. But, well, all the data needs to be processed and cleaned up, and then we send it to our animators in the formats they use. Our animators will take that in-game and make sure the clips are the right length for the type of move that we're trying to recreate. Then what's built into the game could be in the game easily in like a day or so once we get the data back. So from that, I take it is that they do the mocap session, they send it to the animators, do their work for an undisclosed amount of time, and then once they get it back, they can have it in within a day. Which, I mean, still, whenever you have teams playing their away game against the Magic, you know, they take a couple players take a stop by EA after, record some stuff, and then it could possibly be in the game a week later or so.
Sure. I mean, it seems they could just be talking about the development stage right now. Of course, not updates at all. But I suppose if I had to guess, then that probably is the case. But that would be something if they could actually. I mean, we've seen them add lots of things to the game through the year: new jerseys, shoes, all kinds of unlockables, those kinds of things that are basically just textures coming down or unlocks for things that are on the disc, I suppose, in some cases. But yeah, to actually add new animations so that if someone's jump shot wasn't exactly right, or they've only got X amount of jump shots in the game out of the box, but they can add a new one, that's new. That is, I guess, next gen, because that is a game that can truly evolve to the point where if you're reviewing the game a few months out of it coming out, you could be reviewing possibly an entirely different game, or certainly one that's feels and looks a lot different to it did at launch.
Definitely. So, I think the huge push of this generation is going to be, or this upcoming generation is going to be, the whole living content, how it will constantly evolve. And you know, that's one thing that both press conferences for Sony and Microsoft have been pushing, that you know, that that the game will constantly evolve from just general patch updates to additional content. So yeah, it's going to be great that the game's not going to be so static and just sort of slight data changes here and there just for ratings and that. So I wouldn't mind seeing how much further that's going to go, you know, in years 2, 3, 4, 5 and all that stuff. What else they're gonna push with it once the tech gets up to be able to do so. So yeah.
Any thoughts on it, Pat? Did you check out the article at all?
Which one?
The one on the motion capture session that mentioned the possibility of getting or how quickly the turnaround is for getting new animations into the game.
It seemed about the same. I mean, I don't see anything. I don't honestly see anything that special, because it reminds me of a mocap session that 2K did years ago when they had several NBA players on a street court, and I think it was Vegas and
Rucker.
Basically, yeah. Was it Rucker?
Come on, it's me.
It's Rucker. Then. And it's like Chris Paul and who else was there? You know, what, Paul Pierce was there? Wasn't he there? I think. I don't know. But
it was.
But basically, they were motion capturing their animations right there, and then they put them right into the game, like right in front of them. So I don't know how special that is, because the NBA players were saying that they just saw the move that they did already in the game. So I don't know if that's anything that special or not.
Fair enough.
It's special in the point where if they actually make it a dynamically updatable thing where they could add animations post-release. Because it's technically only been the last 2 years that that we've actually branched away from just doing roster updates throughout the year. I mean, we've had official roster updates since Live 2003 and beyond, and before then even. But having you know, the art from 2K the past couple of years get updated. I mean, even Live 09 did it with the Thunder update, I think it was.
Yeah, they were the generic logos and jerseys out of the box, yeah.
Which, I mean, still going look better past than that, the actual...
Yeah. But going past that and into the animations and, you know, hopefully it's true, and if it's not, it's not. But it's just, I voiced concern, I think it was last month, saying, why are they still doing mocap? Shouldn't they be past this by now? Isn't the time for mocapping for, like, I don't know, early summer, and now you guys should be cleaning everything up. But if it's really that quick of a turnaround, and with the Ignite engine, we don't know how easy it is for them to plug things in and have it look good. Because you know, they probably have some kind of animation blending if it's also being used for UFC and the tackling in FIFA and Madden. So I don't know. It at least calmed me on that front, where I was worried about them doing mocap so late into the development season. But if they can just plug and play like that, then... more power to them.
Seems like it's more just a case of getting the last few players they haven't been able to perhaps spend time with during this offseason just to grab their moves.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, because a lot of the players have been overseas doing some ambassador type stuff, and maybe this is sort of like they've just come back from these things, or even just personal holidays and that. So yeah, it could be that could have been a contributing factor into some players not getting mocapped so earlier in the year and that. So that's just just a thought.
It'll definitely be interesting to get some more clarification on this a bit closer to hopefully the end of this month when the next gen news really starts to flow. But John, you had another idea. You actually had an idea for NBA Live 14, which
technically it could work for, you know, 2K as well with whole stat thing.
Indeed, but an idea for games based on the hotspots, and there was some discussion of it about it in the forum, but I feel a couple of people perhaps missed the point of what you were going for in the or looked at your illustration and thought that's exactly what you wanted rather than just talking about basic concepts. So
I was expecting a flop of a video. I will say that right away. I was expecting I'm going to do a short video and no one's going to watch it and whatever. At least I tried something different on the channel. And, and then all of a sudden I get 1,000 views and it's all from my subscribers. And it's like, oh, okay. I should probably share this around. So basically the idea was you get the ball with any player on the court. Any offensive player, user-controlled. Now, when the computer's controlling the player, they have all this synergy data saying that they like to drive right 54% of the time. They like to spot up at the foul line. They like to drive to the rim. They like to do a floater. They, you know, all the tendencies that both 2K and EA have at their disposal. So what I was saying is that when the user has the, you know, when the user is playing the game in Live 09, I forget if they actually did it in 10 or not, but you'd get these little pop-ups that said, Rajon Rondo drives right 54% of the time. And that means BS to me. You know, in the game, it doesn't really mean much to me to say, oh, from this position, he drives right. Okay. so 54% of the time, I'm being more realistic with Rondo. It's a very negligible thing. But what I was thinking was that as a next-gen kind of feature, they take the, which way you drive, where their actual hotspots are for where they like to shoot the ball, what kind of shots they take and all that stuff, integrate that all into just a little thing that can pop up on the court, a little... I used a red blob because it's the easiest for me to just take a screenshot, go to GIMP, edit a red blob into the thing, and then put it back in and just fade it into the video. And but essentially, you know, you just
don't give away the magic.
Oh, I know, right?
the filmmaking magic.
Giving away all the secret here. But the idea was that if I'm controlling Rondo and it, given the situation being guarded by a big man, because I'm pretty sure the Synergy has all this data they can use, we can say that Rondo likes to drive to the left by the big men and try to get to the rim if the lane is open. So we can just have a little red spot that says go to the rim, try to get to the rim. If you're on the wing and you know a hotspot shows up to the left of you 10 feet in or to the right of you 15 feet towards the baseline, that just means try to do some moves to get over there or something. Essentially just saying, if you were real-life Rondo, he would try to get to this spot and take a shot. If nothing pops up, that means there's no shot. Now, the main thing was that there was no boost. When I said this, there was no boost or no penalty for doing it or not doing it. And that's a lot. That's one thing that a lot of people missed and thought that I was saying that this is some arcade plus 1 point if you shoot from here thing. I was trying really hard to, you know, it's not that. I don't want that in my simulation game, and that's me saying it. I just want an intuitive way to know how to accurately play with real life players. So that was.
And this would be something that you could turn on and off if people
exactly.
didn't want to, if they wanted to ignore it.
And the
could,
one thing that I think that you know could have changed it all and would have changed the entire. Way I presented it was that instead of having, you know, you press in the left stick and you have the hotspot show up, maybe if you click it once, you get this little dynamic hotspot. And if you click it twice, you get the full hotspots for the entire floor. And then so it's a user initiated thing. It's not a automatic thing.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, that's how I kind of envisioned it when you were talking about it, to be honest. Or that's how I would have preferred to see it, yeah.
Yeah, because I thought about it, too, when I did the ball rotation one. Well, I swung the ball around, and then I was going to edit the spot underneath Jason Terry for him to take the shot. And I kind of realized this damn red spot would be popping up all over the place as I rotate the ball around. That'd be annoying as all hell. And a quick little trivia there. The video I used for that, I believe, was the online game I played against Pat in Live 10 before they shut off the servers. So, but I don't know. What were some of your criticisms or you know whatever with that idea?
Well, I mean, I thought a lot of people were focusing on the user point of view, which is important. Don't get me wrong, but I also see the benefit of it more, you know, from the CPU's point of view, because that's still the thing that we want to see the CPU players. Behaving, playing realistically, so that if you actually gave them that kind of brain, that they were looking to run to their spots, their hot spots, their preferred areas on the court to either get the ball to drive or exactly where they like to post up, that kind of thing, and then are doing their thing, then you know that is them playing more realistically, and also you've actually got those different playing styles and preferences and everything that you can actually counter. Because I think that's more what the stuff in NBA Live 09 was about when it said Rondo goes left 46% of the time, right 54% of the time, whatever it was at the time. So I think it was more about being able to react to that defensively. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, again, but that even with this new idea, that's important. Say, well, this player likes to get the ball, run off the screen and get the ball here off the baseline. You know, so you're looking for them to do that. And if you let them do that, they'll knock down that jump shot all day. So you've got to actually... counter that strategically with the defense, as well as having that that assist on how to best utilize your players and realistically utilize your players on offense. So it can work both ways, and I can also works for the CPU. So I think that's everyone was looking at the in that thread. Everyone was looking at the guide, which is kind of funny because, as you pointed out, we've got that for play calling. So
yeah.
there's no precedent for having guides on the court of what to do if you want them. And that's the thing, if you want them. But no, I think it can work not only for the user input, but also the logic as well. So that's what intrigued me about the idea.
I think another good idea about this is the original hotspots was just basically data. And there's an underlying thing to these hotspots. They could change year to year because, well, what's the context of them taking this and making this shot? Why are they getting open? What part of the offense is allowing them to get to this spot? And I think that's a very important part of, I think it's synergy going forward to try to improve the way the game is playing and make it more realistic. And giving a user a guide, that's actually a good idea because without giving you a boost, it's almost... I mean, it's going to be a 50-50 thing where, hey, why am I doing this? But then again, I think people like to play like the real teams if they can, especially when they're using a team they're not familiar with. And if it's going to help you get to play better because he's a better shooter from that spot or likes to drive right 54% of the time and defender can't guard his left hand because he's got an ankle injury or something, then that's going to help you out. You know, there's a context behind it. So I think that can be a positive idea for the future.
Yeah, I was talking to this with John when he sent me an idea to EA, and that, you know, immediate benefits were, you know, maybe not experienced users who are sort of learning to play the game, or if they were just learning to play with a different team, it was a straight up way to sort of get familiar with how these players on these teams play in a more accurate representation in that. So,
kind of like a teaching tool.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and we were talking to, you know, increasing the user's ability in basketball gaming IQ in that, instead of just, you know, just try and get to the basket and dunk or just jack up threes. So, you know, it has that learning guide, and I don't see any negatives in that. You know, if people want to get better and learn how to play with a player, because think about it, if you're going in a career mode and you get put on a team that you're not very familiar with, this is going to come handy with that, because you're going to have to learn how to play with this team that you probably would never use. So
that could affect team chemistry.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, it has some great benefits to it, and I thought it was a brilliant idea. So yeah, I've sent it through, and there's been a response about it, so hoping that no worries, man, I do what I can. Hopefully it gets taken aboard, because it does have some really, really great benefits. So, and if it is ignored or and that would I'd find it kind of stupid. And for those who make negative comments about it, I really hope you thought about the possible outcomes that this could achieve in that. So instead of
I felt the concept did go over a few people's heads, or yeah, they perhaps looked at the implementation and not the underlying idea. I mean, it sounds awfully sycophantic of me to say that about John's idea, I know, but I mean, it sounded like a lot of the things we've been talking about for years. I mean, not to say you rehashed anything, John, but it's the kind of the stuff we've been talking about of wanting players to play more realistically, and anything along those lines, I think is an idea worth exploring. So yeah, I was intrigued, and I like I said, from both the user input and the CPU, the AI standpoint.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How many times when we play a game, go, that's BS right there. That player wouldn't do that. Or, you know, those moments where you'd have those frustrating moments, and this is a
Dwight Howard turnaround fadeaway from 20 feet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know,
sim baby. Well,
okay, so you guys are taking it that way. Now it's funny because when you guys were talking about it, and in the forums, the people were talking about how the people who don't know the players too well and you know, don't know how to utilize them properly and everything. I'm sorry, but when I play as the Grizzlies, I don't know how Mike Conley is supposed to do stuff. I don't know how DeMar DeRozan does their thing, and it's and I, you know, pay attention to the NBA as much as I do, And, you know, Andrew, you mentioned the fadeaway from Dwight from 3. You know, thankfully, that hasn't been happening as much in the recent games. It's kind of pathetic it happened at all. But, you know, my main goal for this idea would be to try and take it not from the completely brass, you know, screw-ups in AI with Dwight taking threes and stuff, but more of the, which actually happened in the NBA Live 10 game I played yesterday, now that I think about it. But the more of the idea that I had with it was, what's the difference between Dwight and Garnett? What's the difference between Rose and Rondo? What's the difference between Kobe and, you know,
player differentiation.
A shooting guard. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Roster shooting guard, number 98.
So, but that's my general, you know, feeling with it. Is just it's a bit of a selfish thing, because that's something that I really want, and it's kind of a wish list thingy, and that's how it was supposed to come off. But I decided to use the word idea instead of wish list. And
it's all in the presentation.
It's just I don't know how to use these players properly, and we have all these signature animations in 2K for, oh yeah, if you do, you know, this combination, like a fighting combo with Kobe, that's realistic for his, you know, thing. And then eventually we just got it down to pressing one button and he does a, you know, a signature gather, and then, you know, it's Kobe to a T. Not that I play with Kobe ever too often anyway, but it's just this disconnect where we have these animations, these hop step animations that are signature, and that's fantastic and great. And we hear Live 14 talking about these dribble moves and how they're going to, you know, be the new signature thing. But if we still have to input these commands, I don't know. It's like, it does feel like I'm asking for simplification of the system to make it more signature like. But
yeah, it's
I didn't like Live 10.
Everyone.
I didn't like Live 10's size up mechanic, even though that was signature, and because it took away too much control for me. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, but it's an interesting point that you mentioned before that, yeah, you know, as passionate an NBA fan as you can be, to know exactly how everyone plays in every single situation without stopping and going and looking up some data on them, you know, and doing that research. I mean, that's the whole thing, that the game is able to prompt you with that data and say, well, you know, this is the data we've got straight from Synergy. You want to know how they play? This is how they play. So, yeah, no, I see where you're coming from there. All absolutely. Right. But definitely, you know, hats off to you, John. Interesting idea.
Thanks.
and keep talking about that in the forum. And, of course, any other ideas that people have, because we, you know, we do have ideas about video games. After all, we have been playing, we've all been playing them for a long time, so definitely keep bringing that up. But on to things that we do know are going to be in this year's games, and moving on to some NBA 2K14 news now. Just as we were wrapping up last week, or within the hour after we wrapped up, actually, true to form, the trailer came out for the current gen version, so we weren't able to give our impressions last week. But yeah, so the trailer did come out. It was about, what, a minute and a half long, if I recall correctly?
Yeah, minute 31 or something.
Minute 31, close enough, Jazz. But the usual, lots of different moves, lots of different stars on display, a couple of role players, or up-and-coming young players as well, strutting their stuff in the trailer. Thoughts, guys? John?
That sucked.
Sucks.
I and I'm not one of the people that say, oh, you should hire Shady to do it, because I don't really like Shady's style or any of the other styles that do over editing. The style of the trailer was fine, with not doing too many effects and just good camera angles and nice plays, but I didn't like the song. I didn't like the pacing of it. I mean, the ultimate 2K official trailer, in my opinion, was probably 2K10's Baron Davis at the end when he was just going off. I think that was the ultimate 2K trailer for me.
Okay.
Followed by like 2K12's Fastlane one, because it showed it, there was some kind of story here, and there was a little bit of a story with this one, with the new players and new places and all that kind of stuff. It just seemed pretty. I almost want to say it felt rushed. I don't know. It didn't have that kind of. I really hope that Momentous Celtic didn't do that one. I guess is the best way I'm trying to put it. I don't know. I didn't really like it.
Maybe reflected current gen being a bit of an afterthought at this point. That there's like, oh, well, we need a trailer. Here's some cool moves from the game. Here's a block. Here's a dunk being blocked. You know, yeah. That's in the game. We did say that. You know,
yeah.
So kind of like that, perhaps. That it's just a trailer for the sake of, oh, well, you know, we've got to hype the game a little bit, so... Highlights, and yeah, that kind of thing.
Oh, what do you guys think? I don't know.
There's that Ricky Rubio pass. I think that animation or that sequence probably was the most deterring from the current gen version, because if you look at that pass, the ball warps in an odd way in that from the sort of the way he's sort of trying to pass it, it just doesn't.
Yeah, it goes look too
right.
fast.
Yeah,
like he just flicks his wrist and the ball's like, pew!
Yeah, a weird bullet
those
sort
floating
of
passes.
Yeah, you know when you
seriously underestimate the awesomeness of Ricky Rubio.
Well, like, the pass doesn't look like it's the whole momentum side of it. It's more like a gentle pass off, but it comes off as like a rocket pass.
Yeah,
so
he doesn't even finish the like finger throwing releasing animation before the ball just warps out.
Yeah, exactly.
Nope, I see that. Yeah, you're right. I didn't even catch that before.
So yeah, there's still the couple of little ugly animation side of things and the sort of ball physics and momentum side of it. I think that was probably the biggest gripe out of it that I can remember from looking at it like a week ago or a couple of days ago. I'll need to take a look at it again.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it looks like a better trailer without the music. So maybe I just really don't like the song that you can hate me now.
Well, that's a big part of it. I mean, it's all part of the.
Or maybe Ben's voice is just a better soundtrack, and Ben and Pat's voice together. You guys doing a duet just made it better.
Who would have thought?
Well, I mean, for my part, I thought, you know, it's a trailer. It didn't get me. I didn't hate it. I didn't squeal with joy if I'm watching it, although I don't think I've ever squealed for joy watching a trailer for a basketball game. So, but yeah, it didn't get me particularly hyped, but then didn't let me down either. It was, yeah, I'm just at this point, as I said last week, I'm ready to it current gen, when I'm not expecting huge improvements, I'm just wanting to see how it plays. If it plays better, if we've got a bit of a better game on PC this year, fantastic. That's I'm ready for some hands-on of a demo, basically. Anything else is just like, oh, that's kind of cool, that's nice, but I don't think there's anything else that we can glean from the videos, even raw gameplay, which there is going to be another one this Friday, I believe.
Floaty uniforms? No. yes, the full 5-on-5 game between Ronnie and Chris Manning.
Yeah.
Lakers versus Knicks.
Which, again, cool to see, but yeah.
It's Ronnie at the controls. It's going to suck. No, have you guys seen him play before? He's worse than me.
I've not seen him play, so.
Oh, it's a terrible treat.
Well, if you can tweet him some tips on crossing people up, then
Send him your YouTube clips.
Seriously, I wish he would just be like, okay, I'm not going to play this. Leftos, come here. Or anybody. If there's people in the room watching, give it to the cameraman. Cause...
And just hold, like... don't even worry, just hold the controller like you're playing. It's not even
yes,
on.
Yes.
Like in movies when you see them, like you hear the sound effects on the screen, but you see them furiously tapping the controls, but they're clearly not actually playing anything.
Yes. Here, janitor, you take over.
It's the wizard. Yeah, picking someone at random left us. It just no reason that he came to our mind first of all, of course. But, any other thoughts on the trailer, Pat?
Well, I'm directly after that pass. The Blake Griffin poster dunk was, I don't know, that was really it's kind of weird looking. It's like
that left-handed left-handed alley-oop
capture it or something. It's like it was like a one-hand one of those back scratchers with one hand, but it just looked weird as a poster dunk.
sorry.
Is that for Family Guy?
That's what they call it in 2K, the back scratcher.
You know,
there's a blocked dunk from behind, which also looks kind of funny. But at least the layup that gets blocked, kind of as he's as Dwight Howard's coming, at least he turns. It's like in the last couple of years, the guy just tries to hit the backboard or something. I don't know, but it looks like they've improved the blocking. Hopefully.
I think the main thing that I actually took from the show that I forgot to mention was that Canimation is back. Oh my god. Did you guys like notice all the dunk-ons and stuff, that all of it was two-player animations?
To be honest, I never felt it left.
I never felt it left.
They said it was
either.
Gone. Yeah, they said it was gone, but
they were
and I've
mostly
had obvious...
in-air stuff. But on the ground, there's definitely still Canimation this year.
I don't know. Yeah. It's just like Why did they go away from these things? Why did 2K13 not have live ball physics? Why, you know, when 2K12 had it and it worked good? It just seems stupid that we have these advancements, like the amazingness that is 2K8's blacktop mode, and then just have it be gone away. I don't know. I'm just excited to play Guitar Hero on the PC version next year. Hopefully that's in the game.
Well, you know, they're just going to bring it back and announce it as a new feature anyways.
I know.
Or $5 DLC.
Or pre-order bonus.
It's so effed up, and pre-order bonus is great segue into this. I'm going to take it over.
Like,
I'm sorry, Andrew.
Say it like you mean it, John.
It is so stupid to have a pre-order bonus for a signature skill in the game. I don't care if it's LeBron Coast to Coast, which is a combination of the one-man fast break and the finisher signature skills.
It's one-man fast break with extra cheese.
It takes the ball coast to coast, finishes through the contact. Speed, quickness, and ball handling attributes are boosted 4 points, and the shot penalty enforced for hitting a defender is decreased when taking the ball coast to coast on a fast break following a change of possession. I don't know. This is what I hate about everything with this pre-order and all this kind of BS. I understand the need for it, but it's something when you can add something to the game. If you give like special skins to maybe it's like some special uniforms or something, that'd be cool. But when you take away things from the game, like retro teams, like the friggin' dunk contest, like a signature skill that is useful, it enrages me to no end that this is what video games come to. And it's also going to piss me off because we're on PC, which, just like that Facebook exclusive dunk package, we'll never get to see.
I actually have some insider knowledge on this. Next year, the pre-order bonus, play with all 30 teams in association mode. you do wonder.
I'm playing live.
Is it gonna get to that point? Because it is the
actually. Well, no, they do that crap too.
Oh well, it's become the standard practice that some of the coolest stuff that you can get, but often, as you pointed out, stuff that should be in the game. The core components, like the All Star Weekend, if you're gonna have a sim game, that's a core part of simulating the NBA experience. So to have that as pre-order and not on every console, not every platform, rather. Yeah,
It was hilarious to see a hookup guy post in the forum saying, "Hey, you guys, I screwed up my roster. The All-Star teams aren't showing up. What do I do?" Oh, I'm sorry. That's a feature.
Yeah.
Here's how you fix that feature for them. And it's not the lazy developer thing. I did not mean to go into that and say this is how you fix it for them. It's just this kind of BS needs to stop. I don't know. We're getting to the point where PS2 games are literally more featured than what we have now.
Yeah. Kind of makes you cry a bit, doesn't it?
Well, it just makes you stop it. PS2.
The only way to stop it is just stop pre-ordering. Wait till it goes on sale. Wait till you get a used game.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true, but that again, you know, and I know we're talking about PC here, which is not the priority platform, but again, we miss out on it completely because it's not, even if it comes out as DLC later, as the All-Star Weekend did last year, for example, PC still missed out. So, and still miss out on a lot of things, like being able to unlock people in Blacktop, if I'm not mistaken, John, until we got the editors to actually be able to do it. It's a business model that I can understand, and everyone does it, so you can't really pick on one for the other unless someone's doing it particularly bad, and this...
Well, they're doing it bad.
and really not showing good faith. And this, I think, is not showing particularly good faith to the... I can understand wanting to give pre-order customers who are willing to show that support the minute the game is announced, giving them something a little bit special. I understand that. But like you say, find additional retro jerseys or something, or additional shoes or something that would be nice, but that doesn't really strip away from... It doesn't take out.
You know, I'm actually okay with the whole the boosts for my team or ultimate team or my career. If you want to give a VC boost, give them 100,000 VC for pre-ordering the game.
There you go.
That's awesome. they're going to be set. They're going to, you know, they're going to be set for the game until it runs out, and then, you know, you can buy more, or, you know, just grind like the rest of us. And that's a fine pre-order bonus, taking away crap that was in NBA 2K on Dreamcast with the All-Star teams being selectable.
Yeah.
Middle finger. That's so stupid. How to tell you struck a nerve.
Well, I mean, as far as the skills themselves, I've just got the list up in front of me here. The yes. pre-order one that you mentioned is the LeBron Coast-to-Coast, which is the increased ability to go coast-to-coast and finish in traffic. That is an offshoot of the one-man fast break. Increased ability to go. That's just the increased ability to go coast-to-coast without the cheesing in traffic. Flashy passer, reduced penalty on flashy passes. Pick and roll maestro, ball handlers who can expertly execute pick and roll plays. Pick dodger, as increased ability to elude screens, and that counters the brick wall signature skill from last year. Screen outlet, that such players excel at as the recipient of the pass in pick and roll and all pick and pop plays. And tenacious rebounder, increased chances of winning box out battles, better on the boards, as the name implies. And in addition to all of those skills, I've actually posted the screenshots that LD2K put up on Twitter that have got all the specifics, all the numbers, the exact percentages of the boosts and whatnot. Chris Manning, LD2K, also mentioned that the returning signature skills have been fine-tuned as well for better balance. So, I mean, I say good, fine, nice. I mean, I thought signature skills worked out okay last year, except for the Acrobat exploit. Apart from that, they've worked out not to the point where with freestyle superstars. There we go. In NBA Live a few years back, where you could really just spam them. They weren't implemented that way. I felt they worked out okay. They didn't dominate the game, in my opinion. I don't know if you guys had a different experience with that, but it sounds okay to me. You know, let's see how it works out. But
I thought the live one was balanced. You're able to. To block superstar dunks and all that, like superstars attempting those power move dunks and all that stuff. So it was, it definitely wasn't overexploited into my ability to remember at the moment. Like, so yeah.
I mean, I did like freestyle superstars. I can't talk this week. FSS. I did like FSS at the time, and I felt it was. I knew what they were trying to do, and. Oh, and when the CPU decided I'm going to try and win, it certainly was nice to have a little move in your back pocket that you could say, okay, inside we go with the outside scorer, hit that up and under layup. That's a guaranteed basket 90% of the time. In fact, when that started missing, that's when you knew the CPU meant business. So it was nice to have that, and it was good, but could be overpowering at times, and it was an early idea of the play differentiation concept. So signature skills is probably a better way, or I think an evolution of that concept. But yeah, sorry, go on. Yeah.
I thought the way, like when Live 06 and 07 had their sort of signature skill, superstar freestyle stuff, you know, for me, I thought that was going to be the bridge to sort of to get to the full ability to have the all the signature move contents by sort of like, Live 08 or 09 sort of thing. So yeah, that's where I thought they were building towards. It was just the sort of something in between until they could get all those animations captured and stuff like that. So
we're playing around with the concept, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But is there anything in this list of new signature skills that jumps out to you? I mean, it all seems pretty straightforward to me.
Yeah.
And you know, they've added something to counter the brick wall skill last year. So which. Yeah, so again, if that stuff's all been balanced a bit, then hopefully shouldn't be too much to complain about as far as the signature skills are concerned. But I didn't feel them coming into control into play that much to the point where I thought they were at least detracting from the game. So they weren't a concern.
They made me play more realistically with the players that I was playing with.
Yeah.
If I see that Ty Lawson has Acrobat, okay, well, let's go do some crazy stuff.
I think it could use a slider or something.
Yes.
For the different abilities, because I've had games where fourth quarter I get 10 steals with Chris Paul and knock down like 4 threes in the last 2 minutes to win the game. And I mean, on the harder difficulty levels, it's a little bit more balanced. But I think they could use the slider or something to Yeah, so you could balance them out a little bit yourself.
Sure. That's a good point, yeah.
Or turn them off completely if you don't like them, you know?
Well, that was something about Freestyle Superstars that that was good, at least in 06, is that you could switch off all the movesets entirely if you wanted. So you didn't have to worry about that, either you or the CPU exploiting them. So, yeah, that kind of adjustment would definitely be... yeah. Again, any other? I mean, are there any other signature skills that you guys think should be added? I mean, it seems they've how many have they got in the game now? About 40 or so, if I recall correctly. So they've got a fair amount. 35, including the new ones.
I think.
I can't remember. I have to double check, but I'll let John do that.
Between 30 and 40. So I mean, they've got a fair amount of the skills and play types, and I guess the actual signature skills. Let's call them what they are. The players display, they've got them covered, I guess.
They have one
that you can, I forget if it's the name of it or not. They have one where you can kind of knock down a jump shot with a defender in your face, right? Something
yeah.
about that? Yeah, okay.
Dead Eye, I think that one is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we had Dynamic Living Rosters.
Dynamic Living Rosters, yeah. Hasn't EA been doing this already? Well, not the last couple of years because they haven't had games. But yeah, it's. I mean, the other thing that I noticed was the partnership with StatSync, which they were touting. But haven't they already had that? I mean,
yeah,
they were kind of
the StatSync logo I've seen on the last few iterations of 2K and that. But yeah, it's interesting that they've finally started. Oh yeah, by the way, we have this, and this is what it can do. Will it compete though with what Live is touting with the abilities of Synergy?
Well, Synergy is the leader in the whole thing, isn't it? So, as far as the data coming through, then presumably Synergy is going to be able to deliver the best. Whether EA can actually utilize that in a gameplay better than 2K is yet to be seen. But as far as the information they're getting, Synergy seems to be king. But yeah, does this mean that the insider Psy has been pushed aside completely now, and it's all they're actually going to finally make use of better use of StatSync? Or I mean,
if there's an actual insider, I'm still under the impression that it's insider by committee. But I don't know.
There's just a roster guy that's just goes
well,
by.
Honestly, I hope it's Leftos this year. I hope they just give him the reins and be like, here you go, and then you know. Then I have an inside line to make the Celtics better. Make the Celtics better.
Leave Drummond alone. But it. Let me put it this way: if we see Leftos' silhouette there in the next developer inside video, we're going to know it's him, isn't it?
It's not hard to miss.
They can alter that voice any way they want, but if that accent comes through, we're going to know it's. Oh, come on, you're not even trying now, guys, are you?
But no.
They say quicker updates as well, so
which is great. And they did an okay job updating, but online association lagged behind, which you know sucked for PC users who wanted to play online against a friend with you know hilariously outdated rosters, which could be very easily fixed by doing a lobby or something for the PC. But whatever. Stuff.
Look at the shoes. Look at the shoes.
F the shoes. I don't know. It's just, it's great. And if they can get some more objective things that can change for all the players instead of just, you know, who tweets at them the most, fantastic. It's just, they've run this terrible track record with these living rosters where it's pretty much the bare minimum. And it's kind of like, you guys really have to do a gimmick for this because it's not really that fantastic at all. So... Yay! I can't wait to use more community rosters this year.
Well, hey, if it gives us a better base for community rosters, if it does the job for online association users a bit better, you know, I guess that's all we can hope for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mentioned representing both hot and cold streaks. Weren't they doing that last? It seems like they're advertising things that they've already been doing or should have been doing better or already said they were
updating
doing.
This? I mean, I thought you were.
Yeah. This, yeah, I mean,
did the guy fall asleep at the switch for 2 years, 3 years?
It's that StatSync stuff that really stood out to me. There's like, because he spoke about it like a new thing, but It's not even like Crew, where they took out Crew and are trying to bring it back and promote it. It's been there in the game with the logo there, so yeah.
And what have you been doing?
It's just been like we've been paying to put the logo in the game. It's just so it's there on the startup screen, and oh, they're doing something. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's awfully snarky of us, but and great, you know, it's any improvement is welcome. Don't get me wrong, but it's eyebrow raising. You know, I'm doing my best Dwayne the Rock Johnson impression when I see news like this, basically. But yeah, any other thoughts on that, or have we trashed it enough?
Well, in regards, I guess I could offer a counter opinion. Most of the stuff that any NBA game developer releases pretty much has to go through the NBA. So it's quite possible that one guy was trying to update the roster and the NBA was like, no, this is not right. This is not right. This is not right. Mm-hmm. You can only do this. You know, I'm just saying. I've heard that they're very, very particular about what can be in the game and what can get changed, updated, things like that.
I just find that silly, though, that if one person is subjectively trying to do these changes, mm-hmm. that all of a sudden it's okay if you do it objectively with stats. You know what I mean? Like, if this one guy is getting rejected by the NBA, which, you know, we don't know for sure if that's what's going on or not, but if that's the case, why is it okay for a stats company to make those changes if the same changes were going to be made subjectively by one person?
I guess it's evidence to back it up, maybe.
Easier automated? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all BS and it's bad for you. George Carlin. Nicer words.
So is that it for the 2K14 news this week? I can't remember anything else.
No, we have a couple big things.
Hmm?
So Jason Williams, 55, over at Operation Sports, went to PAX.
Oh, of course, yes.
Or wherever he went. And he hit the community with a couple of teasers. The first one, which isn't PC related, he said, "What if I told you there was a mode that will make you forget about my player and crew? So mind-shattering that those modes would drop off the map." And I'm assuming he's talking about next gen because they've spilled their beans about current gen. I guess I just want to ask you guys, what do you think it could be if such a mode were to exist? Because we don't know the validity of what this guy has or not, and we'll back that up with what we're going to talk about next. If you could think of a mode that would replace my player and crew, like for next gen, do you think 2K is actually doing this? Do you think they're just rehashing what the current gen is? I don't know. I'm not buying this.
Online my career. I mean, some kind of.
Probably combined my player teams or something like that.
Well, they're doing online my player. Wouldn't that just be an MMO? I don't know.
I guess which would be new for a basketball game, I guess, or at least the series. But
well, online they've sort of been involving that way with like all the little XP and stuff in their RPG element of it. So
oh, and the Facebook game and the app, Y2K and everything. I mean, but if that's the case, I got to be honest, guys. I don't care. I'm not coming down on anyone who plays World of Warcraft or anything like that, you know, but it's not my thing, you know, and online's not really my thing in general. So if that's the way,
it's not anybody's thing in 2K, can you get online?
but it could be. But yeah, it's if that's the new mode, I mean, that's interesting and all, but I think I'd give it a miss, to be honest. If that's the future of
try it, you'll get hooked.
Yeah.
Hey, it gives people a legitimate reason to shove a TV remote up there. up there asked if the NBA 2K14 online mode gets cut, like if the parents cut it off on them, cut their account.
Well, it is the measured response to something like that, I suppose. I mean, yeah, what else could it be then that's so mind blowing that we that you know, well, I guess if it's mind blowing, it's going to blow our minds trying to think about it. But
my midget mode.
I mean, apart from putting something out there that's politically incorrect, but, I mean, what do you do? It's
we can assure that no dwarfs were burnt in this podcast. Sorry, I just had to find a way to segue that in. A sports team had their sort of Mad Monday, which is like the end of the season sort of party, and they hired two midgets to sort of, or dwarfs, I should say,
two little people.
Yeah, to entertaining that, and then one of the guys used a lighter, like one of the sort of barbecue lighters that you use, and set this dwarf on fire at this party in this pub. And it's like, what the hell is wrong with people?
New low.
Yeah. Yep. And like when the news broke to the sports CEO, he thought it was a joke.
He actually laughed on television. Yeah,
he didn't realize it. It actually happened.
They found new ways to make the situation, you know, even more disturbing. But the other
rumor.
Regarding the PC version. Yeah.
Rumor.
Yeah.
It doesn't make. We'll talk. Okay. He said, for the PC guys, I asked about which version y'all will be getting. Yes, this is all capitals. Deal with it. So I guess I should be yelling. PC will not be getting next gen. PC will not be getting current gen. PC will be getting a hybrid of both, the balance of current gen and the blank of next.
Bugs.
Actually, I joked saying the game modes just to say that the next gen would be watered down.
The lack of crew.
Yeah. And the lack of crew of next. That actually works. Lack of my team.
I'll put my hand up.
The support of next.
I mean, I didn't read the. I've just read the quoted post, not the whole thread. So I was under the impression that it was just another person coming on here. Oh, you know, my dad works for 2K, and I've got all the inside. Because we've seen a lot of that over the years. So again, I made a knee jerk assumption there. You know, I'll put my hand up there and say apologies for using the T word. But I mean, I still feel could there have been a miscommunication, misunderstanding, because as we've talked about before, PC. We're not the priority, you know.
No.
They, you know, let's be honest, they don't give a shit about us. But, you know, yeah, the most unlikely person on the fucking list, the first to ching. But we are a low priority. And, I mean, if it is just a case of we get the bigger textures, or as Benji was pointing out, I'll wait for more information. But I'm not keeping my fingers crossed or holding my breath or anything. I'll keep my expectations low and be pleasantly surprised, because it just everything that we've seen points to it being just another current gen port, which is okay if the game turns out fine. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, it's
for the PC version to get anything special. The only time the PC version had anything special was in 2K10, when the PC version became the definitive version by fixing the big man 3-point shooting glitch. And having the referee bounce the ball instead of just huck the ball at the free throw player. That was the only time the PC version was officially better than... It's true. I mean, the PC version of 2K10 is in any way, shape, or form better than the console version after all the patches, except for the draft combine minigame that you had to buy on the consoles that we didn't get, because it's a completely separate game. But it's not going to happen. I don't... The speculation was that we're going to get the graphics of next gen, and I entertain the idea that maybe they're using the same model system and texture system, so that really they're just increasing the textures and, you know, using higher definition models, and they're just going to give that to the PC. And then the realization of why would they do that? You're giving us a $30 game, a half price game that would look 20 times better without community mods than the games coming out on the same day. And then of course it'd be the lack of modes or whatever that we know aren't going to be in it would be overshadowed once December 15th and 22nd came around, but or October.
November.
November, yeah.
One of those months. Nah, who cares about next gen, right? PC for life. I don't know.
I want to see you get that tattooed across your sort of abdomen area like Tupac with Thug Life.
PC for life. With the four as well.
Yeah.
With the Y for the life.
With a life,
Yep.
You'd be like the guy with the Miley Cyrus tattoos.
Oh. No.
A true hero, as Benji put it in the title.
Oh wow. But no, I think it's very silly that we're gonna get anything special. Not to discredit Jason Williams 55, I thought he had a lot of really good impressions from his time with the game at PAX. I think that he was right on with a lot of the other things he said. But these two things, like, okay, it's possible that we'll get some awesome mode for next gen that's exclusive to next gen and all that fun stuff. That'd be great. I'd love that. They should do that, you know, to sell the next gen version a month after the current gen version comes out. But saying that PC is going to get anything special, we're gonna get a release of a game, and let's be happy that we didn't get a patch 2K13. And it was hilarious watching Ronnie play against an NVIDIA representative in the PC version of 2K13, and I could see that he was getting frustrated by the offensive rebounding issues. And I was like, ha!
Well,
you deal with it.
You will answer my tweets.
Answer me!
The hate is strong in this one.
It's lazy community managers. But it just, it's lazy, you know. It's like Pee-wee's Playhouse. That's the word of the day. Sorry, go on.
No, you got it.
Could your voice get any more girlier then?
Ah, you got it. Pat, don't talk when I'm talking.
Don't make me mad.
Listen.
Don't make me mad.
Remind me, Pat. Who'd I do that to?
I don't know.
The girl voice thing?
The girl that you blocked?
I was just going to say.
I have no idea.
Oh, Marcus! The
EA, oh, yeah. Marcus Stevenson. The old EA, community manager.
And later developer, yeah.
Oh, I feel so bad about that after you told me.
We were playing an online team play game, NBA Live 08, with the developers, and Marcus came in there. Marcus has like kind of a higher pitched voice, soft voice, and he came in there. He's like, you know, who's gonna play? And John was like, who the fuck was that? and he never said a word after that.
I was like, who let an effing kid in here or something?
Yeah, something like that.
I felt so bad. I didn't know.
That's like when I rang up my mate's house for the first time and his mom picked up. And like, she had this soft voice, and I was like, I didn't know my friend had a sister. Like a 4-year-old sister. And I was like, so tend to say, I was like, so thrown off, I didn't know to say whether mom was there or if a friend was there. And I was like, have I called the right place? And
I'm just thinking of the Seinfeld episode where the Elaine's friend's boyfriend has the same voice as her and just gets on the phone.
And there's a Seinfeld reference for the
week. Yeah. There you go, Liftos.
We're still waiting for The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
They will come.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, all we can do is wait at this point, but I'm not holding out a lot of hope that the PC version is superior to any other version, if at the very least, as long as it's got the basics of the current-gen version, and if there are any issues that require a patch, if we could get a patch this year, that would be fantastic. You know, we'd appreciate it so much, but I just don't think we're going to get that. As for the new mode, I guess we'll wait and see on that as well. And we are getting news at the end of September. I think Ronnie has said towards the end of September is when we'll be getting the news. About time, seeing as it's only a couple of months away from the release of the consoles and all. So
yep, and we actually do have a release date for both consoles now.
That's true. That's true. Do you want to go ahead and lay it on us, Ben? You're breaking the news when it comes to next gen.
Well, about an hour and 50 minutes ago, Microsoft fully announced the news that their Xbox One is coming to 13 countries on November 22nd. So yay for those who want to get Spider-Man.
That's 1 week after PS4, right?
Well, in the US, and 1 week before European and rest of the world for Sony, or for the 32 other countries for the PS4. Yep.
US gets PS4 on the 15th, or North America, I should say. Xbox One releases worldwide on the 22nd, worldwide in quotes, on the 22nd, and then
13 countries.
And then the PS4 release, quote unquote, worldwide, is on the 29th.
Yep. So yeah, it's going to be a pretty chaotic 3 weeks, I reckon.
That's the beta release, right? Before they update it with all the system patches after everybody breaks it. and hacks it and all and the hacks hardware. It and jailbreaks it and turns off the camera and puts a little fake picture in front of it taped on.
We must prevent them from doing this.
I'm picking my nose.
No, they just do like the loop track, like in the Speed movie. or in The Simpsons, where
here we go.
Yep. I had to bring it in. Where Homer, Carl, and Lenny are off to the bar, but they got loop track, and it's like from the '70s, and like Lenny's doing like the hustle move and that from Disco Fever in like '70s disco outfit.
An idea, of course, that Homer got from that classic movie, The Bus That Couldn't Slow Down.
Yeah.
Actually, you Google that image, someone's actually changed and they've edited the Speed poster with Keanu Reeves on there too, with all the right text and everything saying the bus that couldn't slow down. It was like, thank you whoever did that. That was fantastic. It made my day the other day just to see that.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, so, I mean, we haven't had you on the podcast since the classic episode number 29, Pat. What are you doing for the next generation of consoles, or are you PC for life?
I've already pre-ordered PS4.
That's yeah! Right. So we're all PS4. Yes. So nobody here on this panel cares about November 22nd at all.
And if the sales are true, and the sale records are true, pretty much most of the world doesn't give a shit.
I'm getting worried here that I'm going to want to... My plan is to not buy any games retail on day one. I'm going to get 2K14 and Live 14 digitally. And I just realized that those servers are going to be tanked.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how the servers handle it. One thing I did want to sort of make mention about the Xbox half done is that some of the speech things, particularly in some countries, even in Australia, even though we speak English, won't fully be operational.
You get the dialect down.
Yeah.
Like, oi, turn on!
Actually, I don't even think we can say Xbox on, and I don't think it even registers that. Xbox hard, the external hard drives and that won't work at first. You'll have to wait for a patch a little while in time to be able to get external hard drives to work. And the bad thing about that is you've got to remember that all Xbox One games are going to install onto the hard drive. So yeah. you're gonna fill that thing up freaking quick.
Wicked quick, right?
Oh yeah. And probably with all like the 24 patches and stuff that's going to come out day one just to fix up all the crap.
Just to disable all the features. Yeah.
We gave them all this.
You know you're going to go through the initial setup the first day, and then the second day they're going to fix everything and make you do it again.
Yeah. And this is why you do midnight launch, so it updates while you sleep.
It won't be until like day two or three where you'll be able to download games from the digital store, because it'll be still installing all the other bloody patches for it to work.
Remember though, Gaikai is the future.
Gaikai looks promising, man. I'm excited for that.
Well,
even
me
though
too, but you know, as we're talking about here,
yeah. And
I think that you know, with this whole God complex that Microsoft's going on, that it's going to take 6 days to set up the Xbox One, and then on the seventh day you play. Maybe.
The seventh day you rest, or a 7 day
it just
bricks out.
Overheats. Oh my God, no! I don't know anymore. They announced today yesterday, last night, that they did a 10% increase on the CPU, so they overclocked a little bit.
Well, just under 10%. It's gone from 1.6 gigahertz to 1.75 gigahertz.
So 10%. And I don't know.
9.9, damn it. 9.9.
So they're going to overheat like the original 360s?
Yeah.
Yep.
And you got to remember too that the GPU's gone up from 800 megahertz to 853 megahertz. So, yeah, that thing's going to damn well fry. those fans aren't going to do anything for it, even though the whole thing's like a freaking looks more like vented out than a freaking aircon box.
But it looks so good sitting there on the table.
On fire.
Yeah, it's...
When they said it was the hottest console going, they...
Oh man.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun at Microsoft's expense on this podcast, but they just keep serving up. It's Lob City with the it's Lob City with the Microsoft perks, really.
Yeah, it's just going up in smoke, right?
Yeah,
it's joining the up in smoke tour.
Oh my!
I could just picture it now. People having guests over. Oh, is this a new fireplace? No, it's just the Xbox One.
Well, they wanted the complete entertainment system, so it's not just the, the Blu-ray player, the games, it's a fireplace.
I was just thinking the fireplace episode in like The Simpsons, where it's a Hansel and Gretel episode, where Bart's watching it and Marge tells him to stop watching it because the fire, she thinks it's too violent, and there's like little snaps and crackles, and then Bart starts laughing like he's watching an itchy and scratchy episode.
If we can think outside the Xbox, is that that all we have for the next-gen news this week, or do we have any other interesting tidbits?
Not so much regarding the half-box or half-done box, but the...
The Expo.
Yeah. there's apparently a rumor that Sony are working on a virtual headset for the PS4.
Yeah.
Whether that's potentially a collaboration with Oculus, who knows, or if it's their own internal... device, it would be interesting.
My friend actually got one recently, the Oculus Rift. Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting, it's cool, basically get flying through the 3D environment, but until they've actually got a lot to really utilize it, it's just kind of a toy with a limited, in my view, it's just a toy with a limited attention span, really. And then, unless they've actually got, if they've got this VR stuff for the PS4, cool, maybe. I mean... Like 3D movies, I find it a bit gimmicky to the point of, doesn't really make the whole experience better. Maybe, maybe not. But until I've actually got games that really make use of the technology, if and when, yeah. Well, let me put it this way. I'm already getting... I'm getting it. Sorry. Minecraft. But unless they're actually... I'm already getting a PlayStation 4. I don't need to be sold on it anymore, basically.
It already has your money.
Yeah. They've got the $10 deposit that JB Hi-Fi wanted. They're getting a bunch of gift cards as well to pay for at least $250 worth of it. So enjoy they've got that. My money, real and imaginary. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be that guy that goes that rocks up to the counter. I'm ready to get my PlayStation 4. Fantastic. Out comes the FPOS card, and out comes all the gift cards. I'm like, oh, you're that guy, aren't you?
You just say, "Why? It was my birthday."
It's like, please get hit by a car as you leave the store. And I'm like, thank you. Have a nice day to you too. This neighborhood I live in. Yes, I will be that guy.
And I've been doing the same process at the moment to try and make sure that I can save as much moolah as I can. So yeah, I'm going to be that guy as well.
They'll see us coming.
Yeah,
the fistful of gift cards and the cheesy grin. And just like, oh god,
I'm bringing my briefcase and opening it, and have like the, you know how nice fresh $100 notes and all that stuff like in the movies and all that.
Oh, the briefcase
with the band wrapped around it. Yep, just gonna have that with all the gift cards. You can go ka-ching.
Is it you actually spent money on this nice briefcase when you could have just put it towards the console?
Actually, I've had the
briefcase. Don't ruin this moment for me. It's just...
Yeah. I've had this briefcase for like 15 years, so yeah.
Finally!
Yeah, it finally gets to use it.
Yeah. But anything else, or should we move on to one of our other favourite topics that we've got on the list here?
Mm-hmm. Next topic, yeah.
Next topic. So the idea, the subject of updating games more than playing, we touched on it last week, but... couple more things to save it up this week, I believe. No?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yes. No, I got...
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, then I'll let you... I'll throw the ball to you.
God, okay.
Take it to the hoop, John.
So, I play... I do a lot of modding. But I don't do the modding if I'm not having fun with the game. Even if it's this blacktop mode, which I play a lot of, I still have to have something to play for me to enjoy modding the game. It came out, I'm not going to say who, but one of the more respected patchers in the community told the community that he has not played a minute of 2K13. And this is while he was providing some criticisms about the graphical non-changes for NBA 2K14. And I just wanted to at least just bring it up and reiterate again, just use this as my soapbox or whatever. If you're not having fun patching, if you honestly feel like you are fixing the game as a service to the developers and you are entitled to having updates and all this, you know, all the things that come with the PC entitlement, with the you know, fixes that we do for the game year after year after year after year, find something else to do, because this hobby is not working out for you. It's not healthy. I'm not saying, you know, if he's happy not playing the game and just patching it for people, that is a very, you know, selfless thing to do. And I can feel happy for that. But for the people who are actively complaining about the game and talking about how we deserve this on the PC, we kind of need a reality check that the community had to go through back during Live 08 when we found, like, that 2 month span where we knew we weren't going to get Live 09 on the PC, but 2K9 hadn't been announced yet. We sometimes lose focus on that because we feel like we have the definitive version over the consoles with our graphics and ENB filters and ultimate base roster mods and all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, and I've said this before, all we're doing is reskinning the game. We're not adding animations. We're not overly changing the gameplay more than what can be done with sliders on the consoles. We're not, you know, doing all these things. I'm making a stupid street mod now with 100 damn courts. I moved the crowd a little bit closer. I got this weird-ass night shading and everything. But it's not. I'm not ever going to try to say that this is better than what 2K14 can do, or that they should do it, or that we deserve it to happen, and all this stuff. It's just, it hurts to see the community stoop to these levels, I guess it is, from the way I want to say it. Because for a few years, I thought that we had it as a very kind of appreciative that we get this version to play and look what we did with it. Isn't this cool? And then this year, it's completely changed to, like, expecting 2K to hold up their bargain of it, calling the developers lazy, which, you know, we talked about and how fun of a criticism that is.
A cartoonish criticism, if you will.
It's a little vibrant. I think it's cartoonish. It's
too pink. It's too cartoonish.
Well, it's dumbfounding to me. And the reason that I don't like it is that, unfortunately, some of the people that are doing this are, not only are they being vocal, which, you know, we encourage and we want you guys to share your opinion, but the part that scares me is that they're vocal enough and they're big enough where people will follow them and their lead and everything. I don't want to piss 2K off enough to not get a PC version. We know we don't get the sales. We know we don't already get the support. I just hope that the PC version is at least profitable. Because if it's not, and they're just doing it, you know, just to be nice and everything, and, you know,
yeah,
fill up that OnLive market, because, you know, they're running the PC version of the game. I mean, I sincerely hope that the PC version is profitable. I want to keep seeing it, and I don't want to be stuck with 2K14. When the next gen games are coming out, I don't want it to be another NBA Live situation. Although that would be hilarious if 2K cuts out the PC version and then NBA Live 15 comes out with the next gen on PC. That'd be amazing. But I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on this? The whole, I guess that the main issue I have is the more implied entitlement that we can get in the community sometimes.
I'll let you guys go.
Yeah, it's, I think people perhaps don't also understand game development, to be honest. And the fact that we are at the end of a generation of consoles as well, or that a new generation is starting and that the support for the old generation is starting to get phased out. Because, like you said, when we were coming to the end of the PC versions, which also was coming up on the end of the PS2 and original Xbox run. Well, actually, when did the Xbox... when did the game start coming out for the Xbox? Was that 06? The PS2 continued for a few years after that, I believe. But up to 09. But the innovation is not there, and you know, and the PC version being the lower priority, we get the version. The version that's easier to port across, or the one that's going to not require the the higher specs. So I do feel that it is just a case of perhaps people misunderstanding the situation and whatnot. We slightly on a slightly different note, there is another conversation going on at the moment in the forum where it's been put forward that perhaps it would just be a case of changing a line of code here or there to make the games better. And I think that's greatly oversimplifying the matter, that we could change a bit of code. And this particular user has also mentioned that they could bring in more basketball minds to suggest where they could change the code. I don't know where Phil Jackson would know the code of NBA 2K, for example, but apparently he's a programming genius as well as everything else, the greatest coach in history. But yeah, no, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
Pat, yeah, anyone? Ben,
yep.
Pat?
I'll jump in. In regards to the original part of the topic, was, you know, patching more than playing in a lot of things. I got to a stage where I was doing that, and it sort of became more, again, when I was getting to the obsessive stage of patching and that. You know, I'd only jump in the game for a few minutes just to test the patch, and I'd barely even play the game for a while. So that's why I've one of the few reasons why I admittedly sort of stopped my patching part of it over a while, just because it's in. Even though, yeah, it added a lot of elements and enjoying the game a lot longer, it sort of took a little bit away when I just felt like that I was totally obsessing about trying to include this, include that, and work on this, work on that for the game. So it's kind of like the work balance lifestyle aspect. You know, you got to find that balance. So yeah, that's my point in that segment. I think with the situation that's happened with, you know, with obviously live coming away from not being out for a while and just focusing on console when it was out, it was a shame to sort of to lose that side of the market. I'm glad 2K did step in and help and sort of release a PC title for the last couple of years. But yeah, they're never going to get the market understanding of what the PC version can do in that. It's too much in a money resource in trying to get a PC version out. That's the thing that people have got to take in consideration. Every port that they do, they have to spend so much money in getting the resources up for that. So
making sure it's compatible with all the different hardware.
Exactly. You know, that's why the focus is more on console, because
standard hardware.
Yeah, exactly. And so instead of having multiple different variations that they have to cater for, you know, people are still using older gen hardware than probably even the last gen consoles and stuff like that, you know.
At least three different versions of Windows,
yeah,
that people may be running at the moment.
Yeah, and then because they're all formatted in so many different ways with different files going to different locations and things like that, it's chaotic mess to cater for the PC market. So yeah, I think we do feel I think we should be more thankful at this stage that we are getting some form of PC version. Yeah, it's not where we want it to be in some ways, or the support's not there, but
better than nothing.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. I mean,
the alternative.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it again, it's sort of the similar things that I mentioned. You know, with web development, you know, you have to cater for so many browsers and so many different formats with mobile, tablet, PC, laptop sort of formats, and then the 24 different browsers, and then it's a lot of work. So yeah. I think once people understand that, I think they should ultimately ease up a bit. But I'm hoping, because the architecture for these next gen consoles is close to the PC, that probably not, obviously not by 2014, but hopefully 15, 16 the latest, that both NBA Live and 2K will have PC versions out, and will be next gen, and we'll get the support. You know, I do believe in never say never kind of thing, because you never know kind of situation. So it can always be hopeful in that in that regard. So yeah, that's where I'll leave my thoughts on regarding that.
It's funny because you look at what Battlefield 4 developers have said, how Battlefield 4 on PC is going to be the definitive version, and how, you know, they can do things on PC they can't do on the consoles, even the next-gen consoles. And yet, at the same time, we have EA Sports telling us that PCs aren't good enough for Frostbite. And that's why. So.
Yeah. Getting back to one point that that led off the discussion about patching more than playing, I wouldn't say I do that in general. Certainly more with the older NBA lives I've been updating for the last couple of years. Definitely yes, because I haven't played NBA Live 08 in years, except to test to go into a gameplay to make sure that a certain update isn't crashing, for example. But yeah, so apart from that, I mean, in the last year, for example, I've spent a lot more time playing NBA 2K13 than doing modding for any other game. You know, if you add up all the game time to modding time. But then I probably even say with the amount of time I've spent maintaining a site for basketball video games. So there's that.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that on top of everything else. But anything to add, Pat?
Well, you know, I'm getting older. Time is a lot less, so I spend a lot more time playing than modding. But being creative is very very important. It's a very important thing for a person to do. It also it makes you feel good when you create something, even if it's, you know, just modding a face. What happened in 2K9? What was the first face patch that came out? I guarantee you it was a Michael Jordan face. And what happened, you know, every year the first face was pretty much Jordan on the front page. If you saw, if there was three or four faces made, one of them was Jordan. And I think one of the things about that creation and creativity, people want to customize their games. Entitlement, I don't know about everybody's going to feel entitled, because you know, you buy a game, you expect a patch. For goodness sakes, don't write a letter. You might only get one more version for the PC, so you know, find a middle ground, find some understanding. I think we do deserve a patch like we have before. I don't know why they can just port the game and then not create a patch. I'm not sure what's going on there. I mean, they combined all patches from previous console into one for last year, even though it came late. They didn't get any this year. Are we going to get a game next year? I don't know. I think, who knows?
Well, we're getting a game. We know that pretty much for a fact.
Could just be a menu screen.
Well, all of our games need a day one patch, because you can't play any actual gameplay in the game. It was just a simple oversight. No worries. Just download the day one patch. We'll be all set. When's the PC patch coming? March. Hey, half price, half game.
There's no excuse for a port. I mean, I can't just take a game and port it to my phone and go, oh, it runs at half a frame per second because it's just a port. We can't fix that. The company has a responsibility. If you release a game, then you need to release your updates. I recently bought Payday 2, and well, it's a much smaller game. They have released 10 updates in 2 weeks. So, you know, I mean, awesome. The community is big enough to give you the feedback you need. If you have the code sitting there, well, convert it to PC, dump it in a patch, and update it on your damn server. It's not that difficult to do.
John,
Steam and retail now, right? That's it?
Yeah.
All digital distributors are offering Steam keys, I believe.
Yeah.
I think John was wrong in his date and saying March. You mean it's normally October, the following year.
Yeah, that's ringing the updated game. Yeah.
Well, that's
but it's funny because they did mention, when asked about the PC patch a couple of times, it's going to be a combined patch of the end like last year, and then they just stopped answering the question completely. So
what I love is that they said it was going to be a combined patch with the next patch for the consoles, and if I remember correctly, the consoles only got one patch.
Correct, yeah.
So the consoles never got the second patch, so there was no other patch for the PC to combine with. I don't. It makes my head hurt just because of it. Thankfully, this year, the updates were mostly minor. I mean, there are a lot of issues with offensive rebounding, and that can be very annoying with the Superman rebounding, but that still persisted in my time with the PS3 version, so, you know, just to a lesser extent. So I don't feel too bad that we missed out, but just the simple fact that we did for stupid reasons, that just bothers me more.
Well, we are still paying customers. I mean, we're not saying that people should just accept it, but perhaps there are times we have to look at the situation and realize, as we said last week, we are the minority when it comes to the PC platform. We're not the priority. So, yeah.
At some point, you have to bite the bullet.
At some point, we've got to say, well, this is an uphill battle. We're not the... they are going to listen to the majority and cater to the majority. So there are some things where, yeah, something to have to accept. But yeah, that was a difficult pill to swallow to say, because we are still paying customers, as I said. So the idea that we didn't get any support, and I think the communication is what bothers me, or the lack thereof. I mean, even if they said, look, that's one thing that that I feel 2K aren't that great at, delivering bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they can't come out and say, and you know, it may be that they're not allowed to. So I'm not putting all the blame on the community guys here, because they're only allowed to say what they're allowed to say. You know, if they can't give an answer on something, but it seems they're not even allowed to say or willing to say, sorry, we can't talk about it, or you know, acknowledge the situation. If it's it's frustrating to see them retweet anyone that says, oh, I'm looking forward to 2K14. You guys have done the best. You've got me so hyped. And they can retweet that till the cows come home. But somebody says, look, there's a real problem here. Silence.
Yeah.
And it's just bothers me a bit, because, and especially they're retweeting all this stuff. And says, you guys are the best community managers. I'm thinking, well, you might want to, if you were, you'd probably acknowledge a few bad things or give some answers, or at least say, look, we don't have an answer for you. And not let the silence speak for them. So
yeah,
it's a bit. I find that disappointing about 2K. They've done some great things with the games. The games have been fantastic. The communication on the you know, from the community standpoint, you know, it's about as good as their online, their other online ventures, I guess. But a cheap shot. But yeah, I just, you know, and I will say that, you know, LDUK in particular has answered a few times and been pretty good about it, especially considering we're painted with the NBA Live domain name colors and everything. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people have been asking about it and getting no response, so it's disappointing that lack of communication there. I think that's an area that they could really really stand to improve in.
I'm willing to bet there's a cutoff point for 2K13, 2K14, and we just reached a point where there was like a point of no return. So, oh, they're not doing 2K13 anymore. They're developing 2K14 patch, huh? Well, we didn't get to it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But to not even say, you know, sorry, no patch coming, or look, offer any explanation, it's just disappointing, basically.
Speaking of LD2K, I actually sent a reply out because we knew we were getting the trailer and that just shortly after we'd finished recording last week and that, and then I sent a tweet out to him saying, oh, you know, it would be nice to have it so that way we could talk about the LSC podcast. And my surprise, he actually responded to me, like, because part of my profile, like, you know, it states it still has EA
moderator.
Yeah. And the fact, too, that also mentioning NLSC and all that stuff, let's see what his response was.
Said, sorry to my NLSC brothers.
Yeah, exactly.
But, again, like, he's been pretty good with some acknowledgement, and he was, at one point, he replied to me and said he was trying to get info on the PC patch, but, yeah, unfortunately, that obviously never came through. But it just would have been nice for 2K to come out with a definitively say, look, I mean, it would have been good news to deliver, but it, like I say, they just seem to be a bit bad at delivering bad news.
Mm-hmm. It sucks.
But we even saw that with Crew, you know, with the last year. You know, a lot of people tweeting, you know, is Crew in the game? We want to see Crew in the game. Like, Jay-Z soundtrack, yeah. And just like the total change of subject when they couldn't give the right answer. I mean, we spoke last week about how, and again touched on it again this week, about how we can get very vicious fans in gaming communities. So I can understand them being hesitant to say, well, let's bring more flames upon ourselves. Let's get some death threats because a certain mode isn't in the game. That's a reasonable response, you know. And that's, I can totally understand that, but. You know, so I guess part of the job is delivering bad news. And so, no, sorry, not this year. You know, if you go back and look at some of our interviews with NBA Live developers over the years, you know, they've told us point blank at some things, you know, is reorder roster back in Dynasty mode? No, it's not. Well, that's a shame because it really should be. But, you know, at least we've got the answer on it, sort of thing.
But I think they think that they're going to be losing sales if they say stuff like that. And that's a very, I think they need to realize that we'd rather them be open with us. Being honest is going to make the sale because, oh, they're being honest with me. Okay, well, I've let them know. Maybe they'll honestly put it back in the game next year.
Yeah, the people won't buy the game hoping it's there because they haven't got a definitive answer on it. And then, yeah.
Yeah. So, meh.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like a lot of things. Hopefully that improves their approach to that in future years. I mean, they certainly are active on social media and everything, but that transparency would certainly help moving forward.
Yes.
But, communication is a two-way street.
Yeah. Certainly is. But,
I had a few drinks tonight.
Here we go.
And I ate, had a crack at 3 kilos of chicken wings for dinner.
It's been a good evening.
Oh, yeah.
Now I want fried chicken for lunch.
Chicken.
Start the frying, we're having chicken!
Hey, the show's free, people.
You get what you pay for, damn it.
Breaking out the Conan O'Brien excuse.
What the hell was that?
It wasn't me.
It sounded like some wild boar going nuts.
That's my voice. That's not very nice.
Sorry, man.
And he never spoke on the podcast again. But
Sorry, I thought for a second you said he never smoked on the podcast again.
Well, that could be that as well.
Yeah.
We want to promote healthy living here on the NLC podcast, after all. But
the Mile High episode.
And then all of a sudden the NLC meetup went to Washington or Colorado. Ben's already there. We'll meet you there.
We'll do an Amsterdam trip.
That'll turn out much like our adventures through Amazon.com.
Oh, yeah.
Does anyone have anything else to say about patching over playing or how much we love 2K on social media?
Just, again, if you guys are getting to the point where it's making you more angry to play the game, just stop. Just stop. That's all I got to say about it.
Fair enough. So, we're going to ask the stupid question. Is there any NBA news anyone wants to talk about this week? Do we want to talk about LeBron's sitcom? I think it's going to be a real winner.
Is he teaming up with some star producers to produce a hit?
He's taking his talents to Hollywood.
For some reason, it's set in Philadelphia, so I guess he's a big Fresh Prince fan.
Uh-huh.
It goes the other way from the...
Could it be the... Oh, no, it's a sitcom. It's not a movie that he's doing. Okay.
It is a sitcom, yeah.
I was thinking because there's, rumor of he got Game 2.
Okay.
Yeah. That's okay.
Now, James plans to explore the theme as part of the show's called Survivor's Remorse, a new show he's developing with Starz. That's Starz. He won't star in this half-hour sitcom, although he might put his name in the hat and then withdraw it later. he'll be one of the executive producers of the show. Oh, so he's executive producing 2K14 and the show this year, which will explore the lives of two men from the streets who attain fame. One is an NBA star and one is not, and how they deal with friends and families in the wake of that success. It sounds incredibly self-serving, but yeah.
So, I do want to talk about 2K13's executive producer, if I could.
Sure.
Evidently, he's going to be selling his stake in the Nets to Jason Kidd.
Yep.
Huh.
Next topic.
Yeah.
Next
thing.
So, on to the next one, yeah.
Oh, that's never going to get old, is it?
It's nope. Never going to get old, no. So, Kidd's going to be both part owner and coach. A small stake in ownership anyway, and the head coach.
1%, whatever he ended up being.
Yeah. Interesting, I guess. So I guess that means Jay-Z is still doing, he's going full speed ahead with his agent, his career as a sports agent.
Yeah,
I guess
he's
so.
He's got KD and he's got Skylar Diggins. So yeah, he's got some big names.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's just more of this BS crap I don't like.
Do you think he's just using it so he can get free tickets to games instead of just...
Of course.
Yeah.
Because he needs free tickets.
Yeah.
Well, how many times did little Wayne and that try to get into Miami Heat Stadium without, or American Airlines Arena without a freaking ticket and they kick him out?
I don't
enough
know.
Enough times to get really annoyed about it, apparently.
I loved it because it was hilarious.
The sons have cut Michael Beasley, so former number 2 overall pick.
Wait,
on the move
isn't
again.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh.
That's basically it. Beasley has been cut.
Hey, I was going to say that I think this is a mailbag question, is it not?
I believe so, yes. Kenny has asked the do you think Michael Beasley can still succeed in the NBA? So I guess we're here at the mailbag section here. So
two birds, one stone.
Yep. So he's been Michael Beasley has been cut by the Suns. They've arranged a buyout so that it will reduce the impact on their salary cap situation. So there's the question. Do you think he can still find success in the league because he has bounced around a bit? And yeah, what's his future look like, guys?
Boston Ben? Celtics.
I think he's it. I think his career is going to end. I don't think he's going to go really anywhere. And I think, like, especially with the situation with Odom at right now, that I think they'd be worried that that could happen and that could look reflect badly on the team. So I don't think any team will sort of take him at the moment. I think he's going to be spending the next 6 months to even a year in rehab just to sort of prove he can try and stay clean. But no, I don't think it's going to work out.
Celtics, John?
No, I don't know. I just said it to be funny.
Well, if you're trying to tank, I mean,
Wiggins. No, I don't. Yeah. I just really think he really wants to just bask in the shadow that is the greatness that is Walter.
As we all do.
I have no clue whatsoever. What he's going to do or anything. It's. Whatever.
Lakers.
Have fun with that.
Lakers.
No, they've already filled their last roster space with some shit player.
John Williams. Yes. John Williams. Wasn't he the one that played on for UMass?
Oh.
Possibly. Sign forward Sean Williams. Well, the Raptors also just cut a forward, so if he wants to go to Toronto.
Nope, Memphis. Wrong Sean Williams.
As far as Beasley goes, I feel like there's enough talent and promise there that he's at least going to get another couple of shots. I mean, someone will need to fill a roster spot, so he'll get a shot. But I think the legitimate chance of him ever being a star and or being a player that should have gone number one over Derrick Rose. Really. Yeah. Then again, supposedly Derrick Rose is mentally broken and will never play well again, according to certain members of the forum. So you know, it's all a wash, really. But yeah, another number two pick that's not panned out. It seems to be an unlucky number. We talk about bust number one overall, but number two is if you go back through history, Alonzo Mourning obviously being an exception, and there aren't many others that aren't coming to mind right now, I must admit, but. I do recall various articles looking at number two picks being busts, and he's unfortunately in that category. I would say if he can get this stuff sorted out and stay out of trouble, then sure might at least become a six man or a decent contributor somewhere off the bench. But I think the ship has sailed on him being a star, if nothing else.
It's legal in Colorado. Denver has a team.
The Nuggets are rebuilding. That is a good point.
And he's still like what, 20, 24, 25?
23, yeah, something
20,
like that.
Yeah, it's real young. Somebody's going to give him a contract, or he's going to go overseas. I mean, as far as being a star, I think that sailed a while back. But I think he'd still be if he gets his act together or whatever, he could still be a solid solid contributor to a team.
He's probably just hoping his agent can get him signed somewhere in Amsterdam.
It's the
his dream destination.
That's the problem. I mean, David Stern's leaving, so the NBA Europe is going to be pushed back. So there's not going to be the team Amsterdam. So
hip hip hooray!
And follow up questions: which team do you think you'd be interested for? Let's go with the Nuggets because of Colorado's passing that law.
You reckon Chris Anderson will be a cut because of the troubles that he had there when he got that 2-year ban, wasn't it?
For LSD, yeah.
Well, I thought it was more weed that he took.
No, that's only a 5-game suspension.
Is it?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. No. Things like LSD, crystal meth, heroin, that kind of stuff. That's the harsher bans because that's what got the likes of Roy Tarpley banned from the NBA back in the day. Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was sort of intolerance to a weed. So. Like a law or the rule in regards to that. Like I knew he had some troubles for weed and that, but I didn't realize he had the LSD stuff. So,
yeah,
yeah.
bit of everything, and who'd have thought?
Party boy like Charlie Sheen and yeah. and Odom.
Oh.
So we've got an...
You tried sneaking that one in there.
It's just depressing. I don't want to keep up with the Kardashian news.
I heard that it was apparently about 50 grand of cocaine that Odom had bought over 3 years. That was in our news yesterday.
That's reliable.
But, yeah. Yeah. TMZ.
Yeah.
So I've got another question here. This one's about the basketball video games again. Will there be a return of the D-League in NBA Live 14 after the ending of 2K Sports? I'm guessing after the since it hasn't shown up in 2K the last couple of years, will it be in NBA Live 14? I'm guessing not. I'm guessing there's going to be other things that they're focused on, and it's just not going to be in there any shape, way, shape, or form. But would be a good idea if it is.
Yeah.
Especially with the Rising Star mode.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But I'm not counting on it. It seems like just one of those things that'll fall by the wayside this year as other things had a priority.
Yeah, I think security and getting a game title out is obviously going to be the more core focus for them. So, and maybe next year if either 2K or EA haven't, or if 2K haven't, don't bring it back or anything like that. So yeah,
even as a deal.
I'd say go for it.
Yeah, I mean,
think about how much deeper that would make Dynasty Mode if you could actually set, you know, do the farm system that people actually liked doing in 2K. It was amazing.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying don't go for it. I'm just saying will there be? I'm thinking probably.
Oh
not.
No,
but should there be? If the question is should there be, absolutely.
That's a hell yes.
Yeah, both companies should be doing it. Frankly,
yeah.
Will they? Yeah, that's. Will may not be sure. Same as should in this situation. And we have a very important question to end with.
Oh, come on.
For John. you broached the subject earlier. What's happened to the NLSC Minecraft server?
No one was watching the videos. So I stopped making videos. The NLSC server is an enigma. That was an interesting experiment. It's still going on. And you know, currently the map's going to be reset whenever they do the terrain update, which is coming up soon, I think. But no, it started off as a way for me and Leftos just to play with each other. And then Kenny wanted to play. And Kenny started making videos. So I was like, okay, well, anyone who wants to make videos on the NLSC or, you know, anything, anyone who wants to join the NLSC, just come on and we can do this. A couple people wanted to join up and none of them had Minecraft accounts. You had to pay money for this game? No. So nothing happened with that. They're still whitelisted on the server with their names they gave me because it's a private server, obviously, because yeah. And then I opened it up to a bunch of people from my YouTube community that I'm partnered through and everything, and I got maybe like 4 videos out of that. And it's good fun, but to be honest, it exists because of the whole Let's Play boom and everything. And I was still trying to find a niche with my channel. And I was thinking that, hey, if I do a Minecraft Let's Play and it's good, little kids will like it and they'll sub and watch my stuff. And
you got PG on us, John.
I'll put it this way. There is this huge the Minecraft network, which is a group of Let's Players. They're amazing to watch. I love watching them and everything. And that's who I wanted to replicate. And they have some people on their subreddit that they talk to, and you know, they're pretty prominent, and they do like co-ops with these people and all that stuff. And I was like, I just clicked on one of their YouTube channels, these community members, this one time, and he had, I think it was like 3,000-4,000 subscribers. And he's been around for a while. He's done co-ops with these, you know, big YouTuber guys for a long time. And he had 4,000 subscribers or something. I was like, oh, well, okay, that's... Yeah, you know, it's like double me. That's cool. And then I looked at his videos, and he uploads like every day, and he's getting less videos than my fly less views than my Fly Fat Boy Fly views. And essentially, I just looked at that and I said, if this guy who is actively co-oping with his own perspectives with these huge people who are making a living off YouTube, and he's doing worse than Fly Fat Boy Fly. Why am I even trying to put Minecraft on my channel? So, I mean, I'm still going to do videos because it's fun when the time comes for it. It still exists. It's still going on. If anyone wants to join, just let me know, and I will get you on so we can have fun together. But I'm more or less waiting for the next big updates before I start playing again.
So there you go. And you listened to the whole podcast, I'm sure, and you got that definitive answer on me. Yeah. Listen to me stumble over my words for the last hour. Yeah, so is that going to wrap it up, gentlemen? Have we got any other fun topics to discuss this week?
No.
It's simple. We banned the Batman.
Do we want to... don't want to reflect on Batfleck, nope. I suppose.
Nope.
Just pretend it didn't happen.
We're done.
Very well, then. Well, everyone, if that has been episode number 44 of the NLSC podcast, as always, we hope you enjoyed it. If you want to hear us more, talk about Ben Affleck even more, you can continue to subscribe to us on iTunes and Blueberry, or continue to stream it on our website, which is, of course, nba-live.com, where you may or may not be listening to it right now. You can also follow us on Twitter at the NLSC, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. Once again, the NLSC itself is nba-live.com. All the modding, all the news as it comes out on the new games, opinions, feature articles, all that fun stuff. We do it all. We're awesome. Right. Check us out. Yeah. Yeah. Subscribe to youtube.com/JustMing. So that's been episode number 44, the Brian Scalabrini edition. We didn't measure up to his greatness, I'll admit that, but who could? The vanilla Godzilla, after all. But, you know, we tried our best. But for this week, I'm Andrew, and that was Ben.
I'm Batman.
That was John.
I don't know what that was.
Well, that was certainly John. And that was Pat.
Huh?
Can I go back to the attic, please?
Come again.
As it may seem, tune in next week. See you guys.
See ya.